The law that essentially built the U.S. internet economy is going international. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. Lately, a 26-word section of a law from the 1990s has been getting a lot of attention. It's Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. It says that tech platforms can't be held liable for most things their users post on those platforms. Section 230 has been under attack recently from politicians and others who say it gives companies too much protection in this age of harassment, radicalization, and misinformation. But even as that debate is happening, the law is being exported, so to speak. Language similar to Section 230 is part of U.S. trade agreements with Japan and made the cut in the recently agreed-upon deal with Mexico and Canada. So let's talk about what that means in quality assurance, the Friday segment where we take a deeper look at a big tech story. Margaret Harding McGill is a tech policy reporter for Axios.
Well, that benefits the tech companies, of course, because they get to extend these protections to other countries. So they feel that they will be protected in other countries from being sued for hosting speech. From the trade representative's perspective, they see their job as extending U.S. laws globally. So they want to make sure that American policy is extended to different countries.
Got it. So then how big a deal is it for the tech companies?
Well, I think it's a win-win for the tech industry on two different fronts. One, they do get to extend these protections, so that helps them in other countries, for sure. But also enshrining them in these international agreements will make it more difficult for Congress to change the law domestically, which has been a conversation that's been going on for the last couple of years.
Got it. All right, so who is unhappy about this? We had heard that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi had tried to get this language kept out of this trade agreement. Who loses here?
Yeah, so this is a rare situation where you have Republican Senator Ted Cruz publicly agreeing with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on this issue. You've had lawmakers on both sides of the aisle saying, hey, Section 230-like language should not be in trade deals. This is not the place for it. So a lot of lawmakers are unhappy that this is being included in trade deals, but it was not enough of a sticking point to stop the agreement altogether. And then there have been different groups and companies that have also opposed including it in trade deals. So there was a labor union that wrote a letter to Speaker Pelosi. They represent a bunch of different workers, including hotel workers, saying it wasn't right to include. IBM and some content companies in the movie and music industry have also kind of more broadly raised concerns about including 230-like language in trade deals. But opponents in the business world definitely wanted to see USMCA passed more than they wanted to get this taken out.
Yeah, and I wonder what that suggests for the future of Section 230 in the U.S. Because, there has been this kind of conversation, and you have actually seen Republicans saying that Section 230 should be weakened or stripped because of a perceived bias at tech companies against conservative speech. All of these different reasons. But, you know, we know that Congress sometimes talks a lot and doesn't act. And I wonder if this is almost a signal that 230 might not actually be in that much trouble.
I think you could definitely read it that way. I mean, lawmakers have said the U.S. should not be enshrining and exporting these protections and trade deals at the same time that they are actively considering changes. But there hasn't been a big, serious push to make a change on 230 this year. There have been some ideas on opioids. There are some related to short-term rentals. So it's kind of around the edges, but not a big, we need to update this law and here's how we're going to do it yet. But then again, Congress did pass a carve-out last year that makes it easier to sue platforms for hosting sex trafficking content. So it's not completely unheard of for lawmakers to make changes to this law.
And then there has been this conversation, especially around digital taxation, about, you know, should there be some sort of global standards of internet law? And I wonder how much of a precedent does this actually set?
Yeah, I think that we're seeing a lot of different entities try and set the rules of the road for the internet and for tech companies. You have the European Union working to kind of aggressively regulate U.S. tech companies, whereas China has its own vision for what the internet should be like, and it also imposes its own rules on internet companies that try and do business there. So I think one lens to view this through is that this is the U.S. and the American tech industry trying to assert an American vision and American laws around the world and try and tip the scales in the U.S. favor when it comes to global tech policy.
Margaret Harding McGill is a tech policy reporter for Axios. And now for some related links. For more on the history of Section 230, check out an episode of the Make Me Smart podcast that I did with Kai Rizdahl back in June. We interviewed Jeff Kossoff, author of the book called The 26 Words That Created the Internet. One thing that's interesting about the law, especially as we talk about it as this liability shield, like it's Captain America's shield, all powerful and lets companies ignore everything that's happening on their platforms, is that it actually doesn't require platforms to be hands-off. Like, they won't be treated as publishers or take on more liability if they decide to intervene or take things down because it's offensive or misinformation. Two court cases after Section 230 was introduced actually specified that, because people were worried that the law would incentivize companies to just ignore everything that was happening for fear of creating more liability. So I guess what I'm saying is, internet companies have benefited a lot from a law that let their companies grow huge and powerful. And that law is often overinterpreted as an all-powerful protection. But it doesn't mean that platforms don't have any responsibility for what goes on there. Not by a long shot. Stephanie Hughes and Matt Purdy produce Marketplace Tech. Jody Becker is our senior producer. Sarah Bruguer is our engineer. Our intern is Jesus Alvarado. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.